Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. We are back to discuss the latest episode of Glee entitled A Glee Christmas.
A Very Glee Christmas.
I totally blanked.
Glee.
Like Glee Christmas, yeah.
We opened up there with that is entitled Deck the Rooftop. There were several songs.
I don't remember that song in the show.
Several songs on the Glee music Christmas album that were
it's a Christmas album.
Yes. For this episode of Gleeful, we will be reviewing some of the songs that they did not play in the show. So we'll be able to listen to a few of those. This was Deck the Rooftop, a very Glee-style mashup, which is always exciting. Mm-hmm. So yes, welcome to Gleeful. Jennifer, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, Ed?
I'm doing pretty good.
Is it snowing yet in Indiana?
Oh, yeah. As I was leaving work, Like in the past hour, it's been like snowing pretty hardcore. Aww. I was like, "What is that about?"
I can't wait. We're 1 week away from snow.
Yes, we're
why
going
would you
back
want
to
snow?
No, we're gonna leave 85 degrees and go to 25 degrees.
Oh, are you going? You're going Massachusetts area, aren't you?
Yes. Massachusetts, New Hampshire. Yeah.
I need to stop hanging out with you because I know your life.
Seriously, you know where I'm sitting right
now.
You've
just met
scary.
Us once.
I know, right?
We've shared the same room once. We're going back east. And you see, the thing is, the reason we like snow is because we get it for about 6 days a year.
And we go, oh, isn't that pretty? Okay, yeah, I'm going home.
Exactly.
Going back to where it's warm.
So that's the trade-off. That's why snow is awesome for us.
It's a novelty.
But you've got snow already, Ed?
Yeah, we've had snow for over a week now. I don't know.
Wow. That's awesome.
I will trade you Indiana for California any day.
And that's not a trade I would take in any version of reality.
Wow.
Welcome to Gleeful. Right off the top, we wanted to award the winners of the Glee art contest. We got really cool
submissions
on the website. Yes, they were way cool. In case you forgot or you missed it, we asked people to create a piece of Glee fan art or Gleeful fan art and post it to our Facebook fan page. And when Jennifer and I were at Comic-Con, we got these Glee foam fingers like you get at sporting events.
We got number one, but it was a giant L.
Yes, but it's a giant L, and they're pretty cool. And so we wanted to award them to our two favorite entries in the Glee art contest. Listener Emily, who carved a Glee jack-o'-lantern.
That's awesome.
Which was awesome and was so impressive. And listener Janelle, who drew all of the, it's like the titles of our shows.
That's
and she
so
put on
awesome.
Ed's... Ed's catchphrases and
old catchphrase. I moved on.
You've moved down from chanting down all over the world,
wow,
except in the monster.
Yeah, I've
strikes.
Been using putting the Ed in perfection. Hello,
he's been doing that for 2 weeks now.
Seriously,
and I was about to debut a new one this week.
Keep up, Josh.
You're debuting a new one. You've only had the last one for 2 weeks.
Yeah, but it's already old.
Okay, but Ed, do you really want to debut something right before a break?
That's
or
true.
Actually, maybe that gives him something to hold on to.
What are we holding on to?
I don't know. Your new catchphrase.
I'm so confused. Hold on. Is this the last episode?
This is our. That's your Christmas present to the world.
No one told me that.
That's his Christmas present.
Why did Rachel Berry not personally tell me this was the last episode?
She's still baking the individual letter cookies that will spell out her message to you.
Yes.
I'm expecting those, Rachel.
Oh,
or
Leah.
Oh, I should
or
make
someone.
Sorry
I'm upset. I thought that was... I mean, I guess I knew because it was a Christmas episode, but I didn't know.
But I knew there would be a break. I just don't know how long. So is the next one seriously after the Super
February,
Bowl?
The first week of February.
Yeah. Super Bowl. Holy crap.
It's called Stalling for Gleeful.
Okay, but... we'll be back somewhere in between there.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely be back. Okay. We've had some... we might do an interview.
That would be awesome.
With no one connected to the show. But it would just be someone different to talk to.
Yes.
And, we've definitely got some stuff planned, so we will not be dark in that time. But yes, so to listeners, Emily and Janelle, thank you very much for for entering the art contest, and congratulations, and send me your information, and we will ship you a Christmas present from Josh, Jen, and Ed. So that's exciting. In other gleeful news, in news within the Gleeverse, an article about Brad, the piano guy,
the accompanist. Accompanist.
And it is pretty hilarious if you find it. I'll post it on the website, but it's really a lot of fun to check that out.
Yeah.
So definitely check out the interview with Brad the piano guy. And also, if you're going on MTV.com, they're doing musical Glee caps every week. And Jennifer, you haven't listened to the Glee caps.
No, not yet.
Ed, have you heard the musical Glee caps on MTV.com?
No, but I heard it's by the same guy who does American Idol in 60 seconds, so I'm sure it's okay.
It's pretty hilarious. It's he, you know, pretty much reviews the episode, and you know, but in a song, he satirizes some popular radio song, and it's pretty priceless. So definitely check it out. It's worth looking up to check that out. And the only other thing I have before we get into the episode, and we'll definitely cover this in the episode, but we forgot to mention last week Lauren Zisis joining the Glee Club,
newest member,
and we got a lot of crap for that on the email. So we apologize. We forgot to mention the new member of the Glee Club,
but we remembered right at the end of last episode.
Yeah, we did. Like Josh was like, "Oh my god!" And then yeah. I was like, "What?"
Immediately after,
he literally freaked
stop.
Out.
And but immediately she's. Hitting. I really like her. She's assimilated well in the group.
She's fun, yeah.
I really like her. It's not
like she doesn't feel like new because we've seen her before. Like, yeah. We've seen her, like, she was a part of the
AV club, and she was the girls club
wrestling, and then the girl club for old hags or whatever. Yeah.
But the fact is that she's interacting with everybody very comfortably, and I like the way they're all mixing together.
Oh, definitely.
I like that there's this awkward reintroduction of somebody into the group.
It's funny to have her there. Exactly. If they were to give us somebody who came out of nowhere, it would be really abrupt this, yeah. You know, this late in the game. But to get somebody that we kind of already know is really fun.
It's like almost like last season at Sectionals when Jufro got in. So, I mean, it's very...
Was he in the Glee Club last year?
Yeah, for Sectionals, exactly.
Because, Because somebody was missing.
Jesse? No.
No, was Jesse missing? Wasn't there before. Wait.
No. Jesse didn't come until the episode after.
Was it because Quinn was pregnant?
No, Finn wouldn't go. Finn wouldn't go.
Oh, that's right. He was just going to be standing in the background.
Oh, that's right.
I did think about him the other day. We haven't seen him in
I'm glad.
Several weeks.
Ever since that one Britney Spears episode, I've had too much.
Jacob went a bit too far in that Britney Spears episode. The whole, like, I can't take it, like, freaking out. That was, that was a bit much. But we are here to talk about A Very Glee Christmas, so let's do so. Ed, what was your temperature on A Very Glee Christmas? And I don't know, are you Jewish? Do you celebrate Christmas? I don't know. Ed?
Am I Jewish?
I don't know. I guess with a last name, like, with an Italian last name, you wouldn't.
No, I'm not. I celebrate Christmas, but what. It was a good episode, and it didn't have the amazingness that Furt and Special Education did, but for what it was good, and I really like some of the scenes with Sue. So good, not great. About like this is like the level of Glee. This is like the average, and like as long as it stays with this, I won't be angry. But it was like below this, like, I just get so upset.
So you're saying A Very Glee Christmas is the bar. And it's like, if you either have to be better or worse than this, this is par.
Yeah, this is par for the course.
Jennifer, how did you feel about A Very Glee Christmas?
I thought it was better than that. I think the first time I watched it, I was a little concerned that it was just going to be, you know, an hour long commercial for their CD. But I watched it several times and it has a lot more heart. It didn't do a lot to advance the story or anything like that, and they relied on some very very known very expected Christmas cliches, I think, in a way, but it had so much depth and heart. I would actually give it an A-.
Yeah, I'm definitely more on Jennifer's side than on Ed's side. For me, I thought that this was, it wasn't a perfect episode. It felt a little uneven at times, and the again, I feel like the A and B story, in like writer's terms, the A and B story didn't quite line up. Like the Brittany stuff and the Sue stuff just kind of didn't quite line up again for me. But at the same time, I mean, I think that it had one of the more touching endings of any episode we've had for quite a while. And it had some of the best music, which was really fun. And for me, this had some killer one-liners. Oh, like, this episode was chock full of great, those old random one-liners from early in the first season that we haven't heard from in a while. I mean, friggin', when Rachel said, you know, I really like perfection. I've gone through so many kittens that I had to get rid of.
Yeah. You know, like, I did notice that when I was watching the episode. I was like, oh, that was nice. I guess I was being too harsh. Now I revoke my statement.
You're saying, okay, it's better than Par now?
It's better than Par. But it wasn't Special Education. It wasn't Perk. But it wasn't bad.
It was so chock full of. I mean, I took a whole page and a half of notes of just the one-liners. But I mean, that was almost every piece of dialogue. I mean, I think, you know, yeah, they relied on the music, and yeah, they relied on, again, some stories that we already know. I mean, like, I think, you know, Sue is the Grinch. I thought she was perfect, and in that. Final scene just broke my heart, and I just think a lot of things about it were really, really great. A little, you know, a little on the easy side, and like in a way, you know, they kind of, like with Sue's wedding, they really didn't know what to do with her.
Yeah.
They sort of had like, oh, we need to have screen time for Sue. What can Sue do? And so, yeah, it didn't really necessarily always mesh properly, but I still, at the end of the show, just found myself loving this episode.
I'm getting frustrated that I feel like it feels like they have two teams of writers, and they kind of like go to both of them and they say, okay, this week the theme is Santa Claus, go. And then this group of writers comes up with one plot line and this group of writers comes up with another, and then they kind of sandwich them together. I mean, that's kind of how I felt with Furt, where they went to him and they said, okay, wedding, go. And then this group of writers wrote Sue's storyline, and this group of writers wrote the Kurt and Finn's storyline. And they don't quite mesh.
No, I mean, thematically, they do, but as far as the flow within the episode, no. But all of that aside, I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You know, I go back to shows like the, you know, I'm gonna like invoke Scrubs again, but Scrubs always managed to have like the, you know, sometimes three storylines, but the A, B, and C storylines always added up to the same theme. You know, they always had the same moral at the end of the day. And I guess I feel like, you know, in this episode, my only complaint is that as much as I liked the Brittany stuff and as much as I liked the Sue stuff, they didn't really have the same moral at the end of the day. They weren't making the same statement, and so they kind of feel a bit disjointed. That said, yeah, I definitely fall on the side with Jennifer. I thought this was a fantastic episode. And again, it had some of the best one-liners we've had in a very long time. And one of the great things about this episode is we really got to see them be a family.
Yeah.
It wasn't about Kurt, who, gosh, I think he had two scenes in the whole show. Or maybe just one.
Yeah, no, I only just remember one. You're right, only two. Well, that was only one.
Yeah, it was only one. It was and that one scene was just kind of fan scene. Service.
Well, it was one long scene with him and then him and Blaine and then him and Mr. Shue.
Blaine.
I always forget that his name is Blaine. Blaine. I thought you said Blaine. I always call him Darren when I think about him.
And Mr. Shue.
Darren.
But yeah, and so I really liked that. And even when we did have scenes like private moments with Finn and Rachel, it was really in reference to the larger concepts of the group. And so it really did feel to me like a family. They seemed to be kind of supporting each other and working together. And that was fun.
Oh, and I mean, how great is the Beast?
Oh, and she continues. The Beast continues to be the greatest person ever.
Again, just very smoothly assimilating into the whole dysfunctional group. I think she's amazing. She's a really incredible actress.
Yeah, she's really fantastic. I mean, she manages to walk, the actress manages to walk a really fine line between a satire and a real human being.
Yeah, I mean, I think with another actor or actress, it may come off as kind of a joke. Like, I think, you know, the whole Tanaka thing was, he was always the joke.
Yeah.
But you never feel that way with her.
Yeah, I mean, she always feels like she's in on the joke, to the point where when she's not in on the joke, you really feel for her,
yeah.
And she really pulls at you. Well, let's go ahead and listen to another song. This, again, is a song from the soundtrack that was not in the episode itself. There's about 5 or 6 of these, so we won't even be able to get to all of them. But this is, as my computer wakes up, wake up, computer. Jennifer's going to sing it for you. Here is a bit of Jingle Bells from the Glee Kids. Mark Salling there on Jingle Bells. I would think Chord was probably mixed in there. They have kind of similar voices when you put them next to each other.
They do. When they were singing Land of Misfit Toys, when I was listening to it on the soundtrack before we actually saw the episode, there were a few times I thought it was Puckerman, but it was Sam.
This is, for Jennifer and I, this is the first time we've ever listened to the soundtrack for an episode before the episode came out, because we put a Christmas CD for our friends and family, and you, the listeners. We do a Christmas CD every year, and we wanted to have a Glee song on the Christmas CD, so we listened to the album before, and it is funny, like, so I knew the songs when they would start playing on the show, but I didn't know who was actually performing them. So this is kind of a bizarre. I guess that's how you do it every week, Ed? Or do you find out when you see the show?
No, well, okay. Sometimes, like, Britney, I listened beforehand. The second I heard Dog Days Are Over, I listened to that. Was going to be on it. Like, yeah. Like, if it's a song that I'm interested in, sometimes when I read a title, I'm like, oh, I don't really know that song. I let it be a surprise. Mm. So, but if I already know the song really well, I mean, there's no point for me not to. I remember the summer after the first episode, someone must like snuck into the recording session of Glee, because it was like some terrible quality of Halo / Walking on Sunshine. And I was obsessed with it. I was like, I'm so excited for this.
Well, you know what? I guess the kind of overarching storyline for the episode was Mr. Schuster trying to get the kids to raise money for the McKinney Vento Club. We actually got an email from listener Katie, who says, I am both a nerd and a workaholic social worker. This is listener Katie, not me saying this. But she said, for this random factoid, they said that they were raising money for the McKinney Vento Club, and McKinney Vento is actually a federal law that addresses the needs of homeless kids to ensure that no matter where they move to in a year, they are ensured that they can stay in their same school and that transportation and other services must be provided to them to help them maintain some stability.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of an interesting poll.
I'm impressed it was a real organization. That's kind of a nice little throw out to them.
Well, it was definitely an interesting name. Like, I had to hear it, you know. It took me like three watchings of the episode to really feel out, what are they saying there?
I kept thinking he was saying McKinley.
Oh, McKinley, hi.
And I was hearing McKinley bento, like a bento box. Japanese social.
Japanese food.
Yeah.
But they, so they performed for the kids. It was that scene where they're singing and the teacher actually throws a shoe at the band.
Oh my goodness.
That was nuts.
You're making me hate
you,
Christmas.
You know what's the best part about this episode? Yeah.
I'd rather be learning.
You know what the best part of this episode was?
Go ahead.
When the guy who plays like all the instruments and has that hair talked.
Oh, the bass player talked.
That's what Josh said.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, he talks? He speaketh?
Didn't even know he had a voice.
And he's like 35 years old.
Is he really?
I don't know. No.
He looks so young.
Like, yeah, he looks old. It was actually listener Jules who sent us the article about Brad, the piano man.
You. I really liked that article.
It's a funny article, and he was talking about how he doesn't want lines. Like, how he feels that part of his character is that he's so invisible, but yet not invisible. I mean, there's times where he has great eyes and kind of.
And the thing that I didn't get, but he totally, his only instruction was just look like you're annoyed and pissed off all the time. And now that just gives so much more depth to Brad.
Yeah, exactly. He's kind of like, again.
And he said that when Rachel and Shelby were doing the Poker Face song, Rachel just threw out, or Lea Michele, just threw out an improvised line saying, oh, that's just Brad. He's here all the time. Or, you know, he hangs out or something like that. And they left that in because it was just so perfect.
That was hilarious to hear the bass player talk. And honestly, I had to see the episode twice before I really realized that, oh my God, someone in the band has been acknowledged in this moment.
Well, they kind of start to acknowledge the band when they go to, when they're in the class and like, who goes caroling? Who travels with the band?
I thought that was sweet. I was like, I wish they traveled with the band.
I think it's really cool that they're very aware.
You know what was the most annoying part about this?
Go on.
The most annoying part was they had harp this week.
They didn't have harp last week. Ed, I think they heard our podcast and they
I know, that's what I was thinking.
Like, they were like, we gotta get some harp on that show.
Somehow we're gonna like go back 2 weeks of recording.
You know, a lot of this episode was Finn really kind of being the leader that he's been getting crap for not being. Finn was very leaderly. He brought the tree that he found on the side of the road. Yeah. He, you know, kept saying like, hey, we're not going to let, you know, Sue stealing our presents get us down. I mean, it was definitely, I guess without Kurt there, Finn gets to step up all of a sudden.
It was nice to see him like really just do that without being encouraged or forced into it. But yeah, even saying, hey, you know, worse stuff have happened to millions of people around the world today besides us. We shouldn't be sorry for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was really, really cool.
And Finn kind of saying like that this was his time of year. Like this is when he, what he really enjoyed. When they performed the most wonderful day of the year, that was, you know, one of the numbers where we got to hear just about everybody in the Glee Club perform. I mean, Brittany had a line, Mike had a line, like really everyone was involved except for Lauren didn't get a line in that particular number.
Well, we don't really know if she can sing.
That's a good, well, yeah.
Well, she mouthed singing during, she, I'm sure she's capable of producing notes. I'm sure.
Yes.
If they're the right notes in any particular rhythm, that is a totally different issue. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if she does get around to singing a little bit. So let's talk a little bit about Brittany and that she apparently still believes in Santa Claus.
Wow.
Already has turned over a new leaf and become the world's worst boyfriend into being the world's best boyfriend in this episode.
he's pretty great. And she was just so sweet and adorable watching her. And it was pretty great.
Ed, Brittany and Artie in this episode, what'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I don't know.
Didn't move
I don't
you?
See them as a couple, but I guess I do now, sort of. They're cute together.
Yeah. You're right. I'm just now starting to see them as a couple. It was hard to before, and I still have a feeling like I never really feel like a couple's real until there's a scene of them watching television together and not talking. Like, until that point, okay, it's just pretend.
That hasn't happened with, like, anybody on this show.
I know. But, I mean, it would be nice to see them just kind of being themselves and not in some type of strife, you know?
Well, the show would be boring.
There could be a moment.
Sure.
Like Finn and Rachel, they're not a couple at the moment, but, you know, like, what did Finn and Rachel just do? Like, in the evenings? Like, did they go to the movies? Did he go over and just, like, watch her record MySpace videos?
No, like, they made out in her bedroom, and she, you know, thwarted his advances.
She was what?
I was motioning deflecting hands off private parts.
She was the Jason Bourne of making out. So, but yes. Yeah, you know, I wonder. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is a little hard to see them as a couple because they are so opposite. We're told that they're girlfriend and boyfriend, but we don't really get to see them being a lot of girlfriend.
Well, you know, I don't know. I guess they kind of work. They work. And I suppose Tina and Mike work too. So I guess it's very functional.
Yeah, I mean, I think when they first started out, I think at first it was to her advantage and then it was to his. And I think they've kind of now gotten to that where they're even in the relationship. I mean, he obviously cares so much about her.
You're talking about Artie and Brittany?
Yes.
Yes. Well, he had mentioned Tina and Mike before, so I didn't know if you were talking about Tina and Mike.
I thought originally Brittany only wanted to date Artie so that Santana was somehow jealous or something.
Plus, he was on the football team, and then, you know, and then they broke up, but then he wanted her back, and, you know, so they kind of had that back and forth for a while, but now it just seems like, you know, there's so much care, you know, he wants her to preserve her emotional innocence and she wants, you know, him to be able to walk. I mean, that is, it's very sweet and selfless, and I think I think that's a nice, comfortable place to be without,
yeah,
you know, them having to watch TV.
Well, if we ever saw them, like, go on a date, like, it would be like, there's, I just have all these questions.
They've been a little busy, Josh.
They've had some crap going on. I recognize that.
You know, three times they're trying to raise money for toys for kids.
Yeah, they keep
homeless toys. Homeless kids.
I think that they had all of their toys stolen three times.
They went through three and a half trees if we're counting Will's little tiny tree.
How many trees do these people need?
They get more than I get.
You know,
a year.
You know whose tree I loved? I love Brittany's tree. That pink tree was sweet.
Oh God.
It looked classy. It wasn't like overly pink, but it was pink enough.
It had a beautiful glow to it. I'm sorry, we have a white plastic tree in our office with blue lights that if you look too closely at, you will burn out spots of your retina. So it's lovely to look at out of the corner of your eyes. So
yeah. I think I'm cutting out. Am I cutting out?
No, you're good.
No, we can hear you.
Okay, good. So at Borders or Barnes & Noble, I think it's Borders. I'm pretty sure it's Borders. They sell Christmas trees that are like fake, obviously, but they're not green. They're like all these fun colors. I almost bought a teal tree.
See, I wouldn't use the word fun there. I would use the word borderline offensive.
Why is it offensive?
Because trees are green. All right, trees are green.
Not all plants are green.
They were intended to be green. See, okay.
Who's going to get offended? Are the trees going to, like, start a society? Wow. No. Is it going to be, like, PETA for trees? Trees? Like, what's happening?
When I see a tree that's not green, I think it should be in, like in Robert Downey Jr.'s apartment in a bad 80s movie. Like, it was always like the up and coming, like in every 80s movie that was set during Christmas, there was an up and coming guy who wore like Eisenhower jackets with slacks and listened to Duran Duran and had bad hair. And he was probably worked on Wall Street and he had this really over decorated apartment. And he always had some kind of an awkwardly colored tree.
Usually silver or some metallic form.
Exactly. Like it was a statement that like we've. Drugs. He was also doing a lot of Bolivian marching powder to reference Jay McKinney. But yes, it was always like to have an unnaturally colored tree to me is your way of saying I've conquered nature.
And it's a fake tree. It isn't like a real tree. Come on. calm down.
So let's give a listen to another song from the Glee soundtrack from the Christmas album that was not in the episode. Most of the songs that were not used in the episode but are on the soundtrack are the specifically religious ones. I think there's about 5 songs on the soundtrack that are religious Christmas songs, and none of them got used in the actual episode. So here's a bit of... Oh, and they all have Mercedes. So here's a bit, Angels, we have heard on high. So I think for me, Jennifer's rushing back because she's currently feeding the cat, the small...
Oh, Marcel!
The small... Yes, Marcel, the demon that we keep in our apartment.
Marcel! We haven't heard from Marcel lately.
You know, he doesn't... Marcel's not as interested in the microphone as he used to be. I think part of it is, since we moved downstairs, Marcel is not nearly as interested in participating.
Well, this is more of his territory. He just needs to be able to keep an eye on us.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Interesting. Also, when we would do it upstairs, I think that he was kind of confused because it was like the one time that we would be sitting around my desk as opposed to where we're just around the kitchen table and he's like, oh, they're probably just eating food I don't want. But anyway, my favorite part of the episode was definitely Sue as the Grinch, covered in green makeup, and with Becky as the rain dog.
Rain dog. It's they a exist. Real thing. They exist.
They exist. It was so, like, it totally snuck up on me. For some reason, I did not see that coming. And when it was happening, I just thought it was fantastic. Ed, what did you think about Sue in this episode?
I thought Sue, especially in the scenes where she was destroying the Glee Christmas tree, although excessive, I'm like, why? Like, if you're, like, you really need to do all that to it, but whatever.
Oh, spot on, Seuss.
Yeah,
it was pretty sweet. It was pretty sweet, and I want to know, because I only got to watch the episode once. What she said to Becky when she's like, when people ask who you are, say that you're a rain dog, and she's like, I used it before. What? Like, do you remember that part of the episode? I don't know what she said. Like, what was her logic behind that?
Wait, she was. Sue was saying that the reason they needed to go in disguise was so that they couldn't be discovered as the culprits.
Yes, plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability. And then what did she say? She said going in disguise or going undercover in makeup served her well before against the Contras.
Right.
No, it was something...
The My Lang or yes. something. Yeah, because it was a massacre yes. that she referenced.
Yes.
A Vietnam massacre. Yeah, she had a couple crazy ones. I mean, when she dropped the Becky, go into my trunk and go into the trunk of my Le Car.
Yeah, get that. Oh, but I still love when she got all the gifts and she said, I have enough rotisseries to roast a hobo. Like, that's horrible.
Yeah, and then when they went through her gifts and found that she had gotten no less than 5 shake weights. So, we have 6? Jennifer's 6. Correcting me. 6 shake weights.
Yes.
But yeah, the whole Grinch thing kind of snuck up on me. I mean, the show, I don't know that we've ever referenced anything this directly other than like music video.
It was extremely literal. And I was kind of surprised that they went there, but it was still fantastic. I mean, I thought Sue was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
She's spot on as a Grinch.
I mean, even Brittany's hair had the right curls.
She had the Cindy Lou Who do.
Oh, yeah, no, I was like, aw, Cindy Lou.
Cindy Lou Who. So that was a lot of fun. It was neat to see that. And then to kind of get her change at the end. I mean, at the very end, when the Glee kids were singing in the teacher's lounge, and Principal Figgins is back. He had no lines, but he was just there.
Well, I mean, Sue resigned, so it was assumed.
Yeah.
But it was a very unceremonious return.
Yeah,
it wasn't necessary. What happened was enough.
Yeah, I don't think it will be addressed until the next time one of the Glee kids messes up.
The next time
Mr. Shu is in front of his desk with the kid.
He's gonna be like, you know what I learned on my time away from the school?
William, do you know?
Wow, that was good.
Thank you.
That was impressive.
Sorry.
So yeah, it was my favorite, or the moment that really got me was when they were singing in the teacher's lounge and Becky said, it's beautiful. Christmas came anyway. And she says, it's beautiful. And Sue says, it is. And it was just like the look on Jane Lynch's face. Like she just sells the crap out of that moment. Yeah. And, just, you know, mad tears in that moment. It was just a really like beautifully done, you know, sequence.
Yeah.
And a lot of great songs. I mean, if they were going to pick Christmas songs, they could have picked worst ones, or they could have picked worse ones. I mean,
you know what my favorite Christmas song is?
Go on.
My Grown Up Christmas List. I don't know why.
I like that one.
Michael Bublé or Carrie Underwood.
Kelly Clarkson.
I was gonna say not Carrie.
Jennifer, your favorite Christmas song?
Oh, I have so many, but honestly,
music theme.
The one that I always go back to is "Christmas Is for Children," the Glen Campbell version.
Wow,
that melts my heart every time.
I mean, for me, it's probably "Please, Daddy, Don't Get Drunk This Christmas" because it brings back so many memories. No, it's
what?
You know. I actually really like "Merry Christmas, Darling" that Rachel did in this episode. That's always been kind of a favorite of mine. I don't know. I'd have to give it some thought. But
yeah.
While we were rewatching the show tonight, Jennifer and I were talking about our least favorite Christmas songs. what did you have?
Christmas wrapping
by the hotels or motels or
the waitresses.
I was close.
It was only
there's civil waitresses servants. In hotels, yes, by the civil servants.
I just, you know, and it's not that it's a bad song. It was fun and novel in 1986, but my God, I've just heard that so many times. No,
I'm gonna correct you and say it is a bad song because the lyrics to that song are pretty much just that chick. Like that song really isn't about music. It's about like a short skirt that she's wearing in the video. And Annie, she pretty much just says Merry Christmas in rhythm about 35 times in a row.
But it's about this, you know, this cat and mouse game she has with this guy and how finally they meet up again on Christmas Eve. I think, you know, I don't think it's a bad song. I just, I'm over it.
I still think the worst Christmas song ever written is "Wonderful Christmas Time" by Paul McCartney. I hate that song.
It's just lazy.
Ed, do you have a least favorite Christmas song?
I can't think of a least favorite. Like, I don't know. Christmas songs are nice.
Yeah.
Even if they're bad, I don't know. I remember hearing one time that "White Christmas" was originally, like, the writer originally thought it was never going to be a hit because they thought it was too Broadway.
Interesting.
That's like a fun story. There you go.
People usually forget the intro to White Christmas where it's all, because the whole song is about living in L.A. and being from the East Coast but living in L.A. and how much you miss, you know, having snow on Christmas. My wife is next to tears as we discuss this. But yeah, there's a whole intro portion that they only perform. Like, the intro portion is not in the classic Bing Crosby version. And I don't even think it even gets mentioned in the movie White Christmas.
I'm trying to think of the last time I heard the whole thing.
It's on, there's all kinds of versions that include it, but I would say it's about 50-50 whether or not they actually do. So yeah, you know, there's always good Christmas songs. Some people like the new ones, that Suntan for Christmas. Everybody likes that.
You know, that's nice. That made it onto our Christmas Spectacular 2009. Yeah, there are some really great ones, but seriously, you want to get all warm and fuzzy, listen to Glen Campbell's Christmas. It's awesome. And it's not too country.
Well, you know, there's not much to say about Kurt in this episode. Kurt and Darren performed Baby It's Cold Outside. It was kind Kurt of just blank. An excuse for them to perform Baby It's Cold Outside. It didn't really further the plot at all, but it was nice.
I felt like all of Kurt's scene was just like, we need to have Kurt in this episode at least a little bit.
And I mean, it was cool. Like, if they were going to have I don't want to call it a throwaway song, but if they were going to have a song that was just kind of there for the sake of being there, they did a pretty good job with it. I mean, it was very charming, and to see the two of them together was very, you know, and it was very cool.
They sound wonderful together.
Yeah.
And it was that whole scene was very fun to watch.
So we got an email from listener Lisa, who had said she loves Glee and the Gleeful podcast. Thank you very much, Lisa. But as an Ohioan, it's starting to bother me how they just throw around Ohio geography on the show. She says it takes place in Lima. Notice I said Lima. Don't send me any hate mail. But now Kurt has transferred to Dalton Academy, which was mentioned briefly once that it's in Westerville, a suburb of Columbus. And now Blaine is talking about having a gig singing at Kings Island in northern Cincinnati, about 2 hours from Westerville. These places are not that close together. A lot of people from different schools, colleges, etc., audition for and sing at Kings Island during the holidays or summer. But that's not a big that's not a big deal, but the Westerville Lima thing is really bothering me. Dalton Academy is in Westerville, but people keep popping back and forth between it and McKinley High in Lima, like they're going down the street when they're about an hour
and
45 minutes away.
They don't go to class, Blaine has time.
Yeah, in Westerville,
go visit Kurt for lunch.
No one actually attends class in Westerville. They just discuss it and read books about Charlemagne.
And apparently Mr. Schuster doesn't teach.
That's a good point. She was there.
What was he doing?
Oh, he hasn't stood in front of a room full of desks in about a season and a half.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I think
we've seen more teaching and more instructing from Holly Holiday in that one episode than we've had collectively from Mr. Schuster.
That's a very good point. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much Spanish Mr. Schuster actually knows.
He's like, I don't know.
It'd be interesting to see Matthew Marson try to speak Spanish and be like, yeah, I don't actually do this. I coach the Glee Club. So we definitely had some Kurt, but you know, it brings us to, I guess, the most controversial plotline continues to be Finn and Rachel's breakup.
Controversial? I don't feel any controversy.
Well, you apparently don't read our email.
Are people still sort of divided on the fault?
So there's still discussion about the fault, and people keep coming back to Finn was being, or the claim, or that some people feel, that Finn is being hypocritical by being mad at Rachel for cheating on him when he, in fact, made out with Rachel while he was still dating Quinn.
And true story based on actual events.
So Quinn can get mad at Finn, Rachel can't.
So, yeah, you know, there's that part of the argument. I mean, I guess some people are feeling that Finn should, you know, give her the benefit of the doubt on kind of a, like, look, I did it too, so I'm going to give you a pass on this time.
But that was all before, you know, Rachel and Finn said, I love you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like, and I guess I kind of agree with you. I mean, when you get a little older and you've got some relationships under your belt, it's like each relationship has to define its own rules. And the rules that he had with Quinn seemed to permit her to bang Puck and have a child. Whereas the rules that, you know, that define his relationship with Rachel are now different. So it's kind of dangerous to compare, you know, his old relationship to his new relationship and try to hold one against the rules of the former.
Well, I mean, come on. Rachel and Finn have the creepy cat calendar. If that doesn't show commitment, I don't know what does.
But so, Ed, how do you feel about this this claim that Finn is being hypocritical?
I see that. I'm still team Finn on this situation because But Rachel was trying so hard, and so did the AV Club. So it really would have been nice for him to accept the apology.
Props to the AV Club. Nice throw. Nice.
You know, and honestly, I think I did lose a little love for Finn in this episode because I did kind of feel like she's trying really hard, and she's obviously very sorry. And a part of me did kind of feel like, you know what, maybe this is, you know, a learning experience, and if you really do love her, you can work through this as a couple as opposed to just stopping. But Jennifer is biting her lip.
I never felt any sincerity in Rachel in this episode. All of her gestures, all of her apologies.
That is Rachel being sincere. Like, no, that's as sincere as she gets.
I still think it's very self-serving and all about
appearances. Almost definitely. Oh, if it isn't self-serving, then it isn't Rachel Berry.
But I think for Finn to trust her again and believe her, I think she's going to have to change her ways a little bit. I mean, although she was completely Christmas central on that, centric on this and really going out of her way to do what she thought he would like.
She forsook her religion for him.
But I give the gift of a song of my choosing.
Yes.
I was like, oh. I didn't quite get the complete penance in her yet. I don't know. I'm not quite there.
Yeah. Well, there isn't going to be. Like, this isn't. Like, she knows, like, she, both him and her know the emotional, like just because they don't show how big of a deal their relationship is to each other, they both know that it is a big deal to both of them.
Which is, I think, so, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I'm saying that, like, they both know that it's that the relationship's so important to both of them. Like, they don't really like show it very actively, but like from their conversations that like he can never break up with her and she can never break up with him because like that's how important this relationship is, even though it doesn't seem that way to them.
But I recognize that, and I believe that, and I think that's why she shouldn't think that, you know, a couple of, you know, cute coy little choreographed moments are going to win him over. He's hurt and he's scared and he's been through this before, and I still sympathize with him.
Okay, yeah, you sold me. You sold me. He shouldn't have forgiven her. I do think that.
Is that just to shut me up?
No. I wouldn't do that on the air. I mean, you make a good point. I do think that. I agree with Ed. I really think that that's as sincere as Rachel can be at the end of the day. But yeah, I mean, you make a good point, and you know, the fact is that what really broke it for me, the moment when, as much as I wanted to be like, you know what, Finn, like, it's, you know, maybe you just let this one slide. The one that broke it for me is when she said, it's Christmas time, you have to forgive me. like, in somehow, like, you know what, it's just give me a pass because it'll be really convenient for, you know, the festivities that are coming up, and you know, mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to celebrate this together? So let's just, you know, let's just forgive this one because of the date. And that felt very, yeah, disingenuous.
Yeah.
It wasn't, that was a little frustrating. So they continue to be a drama, and we will continue to see what happens to
but
them.
Now they are officially broken up. And it's not that I
didn't realize
back.
That it was unofficial.
Yeah, I didn't really get. I was like, does this mean you're going to file paperwork now? Like,
yeah.
Oh, wait, no. He that meant he was going to go home and change his Facebook status.
So, you know, when it's FOB, Facebook official, then or FBO, then that's when it's true.
That's when it's true.
Yeah.
It's not Facebook on Facebook. Official. It didn't happen.
And the thing is, okay, just to go on record, it's not that I don't want them together. I just want her to step outside of herself and think about the other person realistically.
Well, you're right. I mean, I do feel very much like this is, she keeps going to, in any relationship, like the only way you're ever going to make up from a fight is you both kind of have to, you know, step toward each other. And, you know, I haven't learned a lot about relationships, but these are the things I know. And
now
and
when, you tell me?
When there's the only way that a couple can ever truly get over a fight is they both have to take a step towards the middle. Because if somebody's just saying, I'm sorry, and the other one says, I forgive you, then it's totally one-sided. And that's how you, you know, get bitter and angry at the other person. Like, you both kind of have to say, I'm sorry. And you both have to, you know, concede. And I think right now she's really just looking at him and saying, you need to forgive me. And she's hasn't, I mean, I don't know that Rachel, I don't feel that Rachel thinks she's done anything wrong yet. She's sorry, but she's really just kind of looking at him and saying, you know.
Well, and when you care about somebody in a relationship, it doesn't matter if you think you're right or wrong. You, again, you have to think about the other person. And I don't think she's capable of that yet.
Rocket Awesome Marriage. What up? Damn.
We're perfect.
So anyway, this
joke.
Has been...
I joke.
This has been Relationship Talk with Josh and Jen.
Okay.
Sorry, Ed.
Ed, why did you send... Oh, you just sent me the... That's interesting.
What did you send?
So Glee is 6 singles away from having the most Hot 100 entries on Billboard history.
Are you serious?
That's crazy. Yeah. So that's like after Elvis Presley.
Wow.
That's it. Just Elvis.
Elvis Presley is 108. But I mean, Glee also has way more songs.
And like, people.
I think Glee's already released more songs than who else has been on this list? They've probably released more songs than Lil Wayne, I'm thinking.
Not Elton John. Elton John probably has a lot of songs. He's like 40 albums.
Well, not that many, but he is a lot. Yeah, I mean, well, when you think that in the first season, Glee released 100 songs, 110 songs, something like that.
Oh, they were averaging, 5 songs an episode?
Yeah, it was definitely around there. So, I mean, you compare that to, like, the entire collection of the Beatles, which I think they had 8 albums. I mean, that's only 80, maybe 100 songs from the Beatles total. You know, and then other stuff, but you know what I mean. I'm making a point. Don't hold me to the details. So,
speaking of music,
let's go ahead and take a listen to a song. You know, and then we'll come back and say goodbye. Let's see. Jennifer wanted to listen to one from the episode. So, do you have a preference
the episode? No, I just thought it'd be nice to play something.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead.
I want to do either. Let's do how. Nah, I don't know. Do whatever you want.
What was it going to be, Ed?
Well, I kind of wanted Baby It's Cold Outside, but then I kind of wanted a group song, too.
Well,
so then I just stopped.
We'll go with Baby It's Cold Outside, and then we'll close the show on a group song. How's that?
Okay, there you go.
Here's a bit of Baby It's Cold Outside from Kurt and...
Blaine.
Chris Colfer and Darren Chris. It's cold
outside. I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you...
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful.
Worry.
What's your
my
hurry?
Father will be pacing the
this
floor
to the fireplace.
So bro. Really, I'd better scurry.
Please don't.
But
hurry.
Maybe just half a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think
maybe it's bad out there.
Say, what's in
no
this
caps
dream?
To be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how
eyes are like stars
to
now.
Break this spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I'll say no, 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 sir.
If I move in
at
closer,
least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. Baby.
Oh, but it's cold outside.
Oh, sorry.
Someone hit a wrong button.
I simply must
but
go.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is but no.
So what were you saying, Jennifer, to go through what the various...
I thought it'd be fun to go through what the different Glee members asked Santa for.
Oh, that was great. Mike
oh,
Chang
yeah,
said...
Oh, yeah, I don't know them. Do you have
oh,
notes?
Oh, I've got a lot of them,
Mike
yeah.
Chang wanted Channing Tatum to do fewer movies.
He's like... I want Channing Tatum to stop being in stuff.
Yes.
Sam wanted lots and lots of chapstick.
Yeah.
Quinn wanted something for stretch marks.
Yeah.
Santana wanted bling. Lots of bling.
Yeah.
That's as much as well as you describe it.
And then she said, is that a roll of quarters in your pocket?
Is it better?
Disturbing. And actually, in the very beginning of the episode, Artie's telling Brittany that he for all he wanted for Christmas was his parents to stop friending him on Facebook. Which I thought that was awesome.
Lauren wanted
Puckerman to love her.
And sweet potato fries.
And sweet potato fries. But I thought it was cute that Mercedes was, you know, she was the first one to go. So she's like, I want a doll that cries and talks. I want a pony. And, I just
and
thought
Tina
it was really
just
sweet.
Wanted to know an Asian Santa got there.
I just thought it was really sweet. They were all so, so sweet to go along with this.
So we pretty much, I don't have much else to say about this episode. Jennifer, do you have anything else to say about A Very Glee Christmas?
Sue had a new name for Emma.
Elmo.
Elmo.
And she called Beast you. Will, Elmo, you.
Every time I hear the name you two, my friend had a shirt that's EWE2, and it's like several sheep playing instruments.
Nice.
I don't know. That's aside.
That's adorable.
Ed, do you have anything else on A Very Glee Christmas?
No, but you need to stall because I forgot to bring up the reviews. So stall.
Jennifer has
one
something.
More thing. Brittany, again, was just amazing, just touching and sweet and innocent. But I loved in her way when she was saying goodnight to Ken and telling him to get a good night's rest because Barbie was flying in from Tampa the next morning.
And that was not Barbie.
It was not Barbie in bed with Ken.
There were a lot of throwaways in this episode that were so funny.
Oh, and she's like, the last year at Christmas when she left her decorations up in her locker, a family of mice moved into her stocking and they gave each other rabies for Christmas?
Yes.
Those babies.
No, it was rabies. They gave each other rabies for Christmas, definitely.
Or babies, you know. Those are things rats do.
Those are the types of things rats do.
That's the best you can get.
Well,
I just loved picturing the little mice living in her stocking.
Totally. Cool.
Okay, so I'd like to thank some iTunes reviewers, including Tally629, Buckeye Girl, Lisa Hong, Anita644, Losoway1984, Obsessed with Glee, Glee is My Flippin' Life, Thomas Wong,
that's a good name,
Matthew Bermudez, Glee Lover, next page, 1 second. Glee Level 13. I hit you. What is Dancing Juice? Chris Callanan. There you go. Thank you for your reviews. And
yes.
Thank you.
So there's no Glee next week. So I think we will be posting Josh and Jen's 2010 Christmas Spectacular next week. A collection
ZMG.
Of our.
I'm jealous. I need a Christmas Aww. Spectacular.
Well, if you want to put up the Christmas Spectacular the next week, maybe we can do that.
Well, hopefully the week, I want to make a quick note, even though Josh is like, you're just going to disappoint people if it doesn't happen, but it's going to happen. So
I believe, Brittany believes in Santa.
Next Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, I'm going to be at the Chicago Glee auditions. So hopefully I'm going to try and bring a digital portable audio recorder.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully they'll have like a little bit of sound bites for us.
That'll
be
awesome.
A little bit, at least
that's
a little
the 18th.
Bit.
Oh,
yeah, that's
cool.
The 18th. Yep.
Awesome,
that'll
Ed.
Be awesome. Yeah, good luck. And if anybody's going to that Glee audition, the auditions are in Chicago on December 18th for the Glee reality show on Oxygen.
It's called the Glee Project.
Okay.
The guy was like, make sure you mention it, the Glee Project on Oxygen. Watch it.
Oh, and Ed, just in case, bring your... Oh no, they didn't sign.
Yes.
Oh, I should. Oh, you're right.
You have to in somehow incorporate Gleeful in it somewhere.
That would be hilarious.
The force is with you, Ed.
I was right. I love Gleeful, and oh no, they didn't. And then boost it. There you
that
go.
That would be awesome. Oh man, that'd be great for us.
That would be awesome,
and for other people too. So anyway, for the Gleeful podcast with Josh and Ed, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
So what if I've been listening to Valerie on repeat for the past week? There you go. I don't know. It's not as good as before.
Yeah, we need to fine tune that one.
I was gonna see, that was gonna be my intro, but then you did good afternoon, Jen. Good afternoon, Ed. And then I realized that I was gonna be selfish if I did that. So I had to good afternoon you, Josh.
It's your forum too.
I was so frustrated. Aww. Why can't you just introduce yourself like a normal? Fame, stuff, whatever. Putting that in perfection.
Okay. Well,
little meltdown all over the world.
On that note, yes. Melting down all over the world, even when the monsoon strikes. So for Gleeful Podcast, Josh, Jen, and Ed, we'll talk to everybody in a couple weeks. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Tiny tinsel on that very bad.